Reading for today is from James 1, verses 1 through 8. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks in wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave in the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, man, unstable in all his ways. Here ends our reading for today.
Today we begin a new sermon series, a sermon series on the Epistle of James, faith that works, how faith works. And so to begin today, I quote the, I don't know if it's the prevailing philosophy of our world, but I think it's close. Life sucks. And then you die. But thank God for Jesus, am I right? But seriously, I'm not trying to make a scene here. I'm not trying to over-exaggerate. I'm not using hyperbole here. Life isn't great. It very often isn't even good. And that's no exaggeration. You know this as much as I do. Just look at all the things we have to deal with. Traffic accidents. Out-of-control parents at youth sports games. Too much to do in too little time. Constant interruptions, technology issues, interpersonal conflict, lousy weather when you prayed for something different. The dog has to go outside at 3 a.m. Meetings, meetings, the death of me will be meetings. Miscommunication, aches and pains, home repairs, finding time to mow the lawn because the wife wants you to. Unexpected car repairs that cost more than you want to spend. An expanding waistline, a trip to the ER, and an empty beer fridge. I'm sorry, that was my week. How was yours? And that's not even an exhaustive list. I mean, you want to stay here for a while? And I haven't even mentioned the preacher's triplet. Sin, death, and the power of the devil. Now, I am sure that you have your own list of trials and travails that you have dealt with this past week and month and year. And yes, everybody has COVID on their list. But you might even have a lifetime list of ordeals and problems. Everybody deals with crap in their day-to-day life. Most of the time, we just grin and bear it. Sometimes we self-medicate. Oftentimes, we live for the weekend, the getaway, the escape. Vacay! We go to the cabin, we grab the camper, we get the boat out, we go to the lake house, we stick our toes in the beach, you name it, we find respite in it. Find your happy place, right? That's the way our world looks at things. But would you believe me that that is exactly what James is telling us to do as he opens his letter? He is. He's telling us to find our happy place, just not in the way in which we would expect. James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. And we hear those words and we think, what? We don't even make it to the end of the sentence. What do you mean, consider it joy when bad things happen to you? Because they always do. The fallen, broken nature of our world means that it is nothing that it should be. And so our day-to-day life is not what it should be. And you and I, we instinctively know that. And that's why we ask other people, how was your day? We ask them so that 7 out of 10 times we can whine and moan about our day rather than actually caring about theirs. We hear James say, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, and almost always dismiss it out of hand. Because of what we live with, what we deal with each and every day, all the crap that life throws our way. But again, hear these words, and this time go to the period. Let him finish his thought. James says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Now, maybe it would help a little if I paraphrase just a little bit. Consider it a reason for joy when the ordeals of daily life come to you, for you know that as your faith is challenged, it will produce endurance and patience. Now, normally we think of joy as an emotion. We think it's an emotion beyond happiness, right? When your child was born, when you married that special someone, when you finally made it to vacation. But here James wants us to consider the reason behind the joy, the cause of our gladness. And he says that we find it in the ordeals of daily life, the trials and travails that we all face. Not because they are good, but because what behind them is beyond good. James tells us that the testing of our faith produces steadfastness. In other words, as our faith is challenged, our endurance and our patience with all the crap grows. Yeah, but Pastor, I hate tests. I know that one of you is thinking that. I don't know anyone who likes tests. I don't know anyone who likes people who give other people tests. We just don't like people that analyze and examine us, do we? That's what makes going to the doctor so awkward. That's what going to the dentist after 2 years of not going means. When I was teaching, one of my students yelled out in the middle of a quiz. I gave lots of quizzes. At one point, I was giving a daily quiz. Did you learn what you were supposed to yesterday? During one of those quizzes, one of my students yelled out, "Mr. Krenz, I don't think even you could pass this test." I didn't have to say anything before I could respond with, "Go to the office." The kid next to him piped up and said, "He wrote it, you idiot." And everyone laughed. And I, of course, quieted them down. "Finish your quiz so we can get on to our lesson for today." But I can't help but feel that that first student expresses the way that just about everybody feels about examinations and assessments and inspections, whatever you want to call the tests that happen in your life. The thing of it is, tests help us. Teachers know that instinctively. If a kid fails, you know they don't know the material or they don't care. And you got to figure out which. But tests help us. Medical tests show us if we're healthy or not. All tests and trials that we go through show us where we are. They evaluate us on a standard that we want to measure up with. The kids who play soccer for me at CTK, I coach because my kids are on the team, they don't like me very much. Especially when I tell them the opening day of soccer season, we're going to run 15 minutes every day to start practice. And next week it'll be 20, and the week after that it'll be 25. And they always complain and they try and get out of it. And we used to let them run around trees in the park that we were practicing in, just for variety. All right, run around that tree, then that tree, then that tree, then that tree, then back here. Because when they run around the soccer field, it just gets shorter and shorter and shorter, and pretty soon they're just running around that center circle. The problem was, as that happened, we found out that trees eat children. The soccer players would go behind the tree and stop and disappear for a while. They would literally line up out of sight, 5-6 deep, where we coaches were standing, couldn't see them. And they'd take a break during our running. They'd stand there. And then after our first game, when everyone was huffing and puffing and complaining that they were going to throw up, I told them what I told them in practice when we ran. You have to be able to run for 30 minutes. That's a half of soccer in middle school. There are no timeouts. There are no stoppages. You just run. And amazingly, what happened that next week at practice? There was a lot more running and less trees eating kids. But we struggle to learn these lessons ourselves, don't we? People will share with us their experiences. People will point out that what we're going through will eventually help us, but we struggle with it. We normally don't look at the issues of life as a testing of our faith. No, instead we whine, we complain. We don't see that God is using what is happening in this broken, fallen world to evaluate and assess our faith. And not for His knowledge, but for ours. God certainly doesn't need to know anything. He already knows it. He already knows if our faith is strong. He already knows if we have faith. The tests that He gives us are for us, so that we can know these things. And the tests are not to see if there is faith there, to see if we have faith, but rather to see if our faith is working as it should. And by that I mean that we trust and rely upon God for real, and that is growing as we deal with the crap we do. We normally want God to take away all the bad things that could ever happen to us. We want an idyllic utopian life where nothing goes wrong and everything is always what we want and what we think we need. That's our version of what we're shooting for. But humanity has been in search of that for all time. In all honesty, that's what Adam and Eve were looking for. And it still proves elusive, because it's impossible in this broken, fallen world. But with God, Jesus tells us, all things are possible. But again, not the way you think. This existence will never be anything more than the suffering and trials that it already is because of sin and death and the power of the devil, but also because of the effects of all of that on creation. Our trials and our travails, our ordeals, that's life. That's the way it is. Yes, life sucks, and then you die. But along the way, James tells us, let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The endurance and patience that faith works in us, that God uses, when God uses ordeals to test and to prove our faith and the strength of it, all of that works in us reliance and trust upon God, that we know He will see us through. That kind of faith looks at the stuff we deal with and says, so what? That kind of faith looks at death and goes, is that all you got? That's why we can say, why should cross and trial grieve me? Were everything I to hold dear and care for be taken away, my family, my friends, my house, my home, were life itself to be taken away from me, the kingdom still remains. And me in it. Nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that knowledge is God's promise to us today. And trusting and relying upon it more and more moves us ever closer to the perfect and complete faith that we will have when Christ returns or calls us home. But that is what it is to lack nothing. To see Jesus face to face, and to be known by Him as His very own, and to live under Him in His kingdom, in perfect innocence and righteousness and blessedness. That is the joy! And nothing can take it away. That joy is behind all that we experience, that God has indeed prepared for us a place. The reality of eternity with God because of the gift of Jesus and the faith that He gives to us, that is what sees us through. As Paul says in Romans 8, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. It is here, though, that we have to admit that we don't see ourselves with that measure of faith very often, do we? Our constant belly aching about the sufferings of our life, the ordeals and the trials that we deal with, give us ample reason to know that we don't believe this as we should. And that's a good thing today. It's a good thing because James tells us that if we lack the ability to see God at work in the trials and travails of our lives, all we have to do is ask Him, and He will help us. He will give us wisdom the wisdom that is needed to see this reality. Because wisdom goes beyond knowledge, doesn't it? We all know people who have plenty of smarts and intelligence and book learning, and they have absolutely no ability to apply that knowledge to life. But that's what wisdom is. James tells us to ask God for this wisdom. And we already have the beginnings of it. We have the knowledge that Jesus is indeed in control of all things, because he sits at the right hand of God, the Father in heaven, ascended there after his resurrection to rule all things for the good of those who love him. We know this promise. We know all his promises. We know his faithfulness. James simply tells us to ask God to open our eyes a little bit more, to see God at work through the ordeals of our lives. Because just as our eyes were once blinded to the truth about Jesus, but have now been opened by the Holy Spirit for faith to know Jesus, we can also ask in that same faith that the Holy Spirit open our eyes more so, that we might be able to see the divine action God takes on our behalf in the midst of the trials that we face. The fact of the matter is that everything that happens to us either draws us closer to God or pushes us further away in rejection. For the wisdom to know that, to see it, to recognize those moments, and the good judgment to draw close to God, knowing he is not far from each of us, we simply have to ask God for wisdom, James tells us. But James also gives us a warning with this promise. He says, "But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." That is because doubt is the opposite of trust. It erodes reliance upon God. It undermines the promises of God. And so James warns us against doubt. As I said earlier, life sucks and then you die. But thank God for Jesus. What if instead of that last little phrase, I said, "Gosh, I hope this Jesus thing works out." What a doubtful and depressing thought that is. Am I right? It is here, though, that we must highlight that doubt is not the same as questioning. Because when the trials and travails of life come to us, we always ask the same question: where is God in the midst of my troubles and these trials? Where is he? And our heart and our mind dwells on that question. But if I could, hopefully you're not in the midst of those trials today. Just think about that question. What's the answer? Where is God in the midst of the problems I face? He's right there with us, isn't he? In the midst of the problem we're facing, God is there with us. And so if we seek the answer to this question, we will find that the truth is that again and again and again, God is with us. And that in him we do live and move and have our being. We will find that our faith is the work of God through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it is tried and tested so that it can be proved worthy and reliable. And that we might lack nothing and have everything that God desires us to have. That is how faith works. That is a faith that works always for our good and also to God's glory. May we pray for wisdom and grace and for a faith that works like this. Amen. Amen. May it be so.